if used once, can destroy an entire city. If everyone uses them, would destroy the world. It's impossible to sort of say, like, you know, someone has the authority to use that, and we can give that authority to them democratically. But second, you know, because sole authority to use nuclear weapons in the United States does rest with the president, thus giving the president this like real life or death power over the globe, it does sort of, I think, fundamentally transform that office from executor of democratic decisions made by Congress to, you know, what we describe as like, right, the imperial presidency, like kind of this, the focal point of the U.S. government. And that's where the conclusion of the movie, we're going to nuke New York, that's where it's implausible, but it's interesting to me because it's sort of like, it's like, okay, on one hand, is that a legal order? On the other hand, like, we have given the president this power to use these weapons. Like, what are actually the limits to that? Are there limits?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
You're kind of selling me. I mean, I think, like, in certain, I'm now seeing what you're saying. First of all, I, in terms of this idea about the national security state built around the bomb, you know, so fundamentally changing the way constitutional rule works in the United States, I think is absolutely correct. And Gary Wills wrote a book about that bomb power, the modern presidency.
I should read that.
Yeah, I think you would really dig it. There was an episode of our friends on the Know Your Enemy podcast, and they discuss it, and it sounded very interesting, and their discussion was great. He connects the nuclear bomb with like massive changes in the way the U.S. government works, all the way down to George W. Bush. This is a really fascinating thesis. So I think you're right on point about that. And I think what you're saying about the Whiz Kids, I think this in certain ways, and I think it's undermined by certain weird parts of the movie, is kind of, I mean, we'll have to compare it next time, but has certain more subtle critiques of the Cold War than Dr. Strangelove. What you're talking about is that, yeah, the kind of ridiculous model building of these Whiz Kids and the best and the brightest that surrounded Kennedy and, you know, came out of liberalism and were idealistic people and just had these ideas of the Cold War that just could not be, connected to reality and where those fortunately those got expressed in the war in Vietnam rather than a nuclear war, but that they apply the same kind of thing. They had all these models and theories of the war that were just not connected to the reality of what was actually taking place on the ground, which they sort of refused to countenance. And that's what the Pentagon Papers were, which is just the fact that the U.S. government knew Vietnam was not going on for a very long time and just kept on shoving, kind of deceiving itself and shoving down that thing down, saying, oh, constantly inventing new models, new explanations, new ways of looking at the statistics, new statistical models to say, oh, and new concepts to come up with, which was just a war, which is not working. And I think that that's still, you know, a risk in our society. I think the Cold War, you know, exacerbated a great deal. So I think in this way, this movie's a little bit more sensitive to those fine points about the way the Cold War was fought and conceptualized than even Dr. Strangelove, which is a satire, is. And this movie, you know, obviously is serious and a tragedy. So I think, like, yeah, you make some good points, I have to tell you, but I still find it so distracting. Almost any other ending would have been good. I do think that the idea that, like, we've given up agency, we've given up thought to machines. I think maybe puts the movie's message on, you know, I was thinking about artificial intelligence. I don't want to become an AI doomer, but I'm getting there. I was thinking about artificial intelligence when I was watching this. Not that I think artificial intelligence, because it has, you know, certain premonitions about, oh, technology taking over and us not having control over the processes that we began. I don't think it's like the plausible scenario is that AI starts a nuclear war. It's almost as if, you know, nuclear war is a good metaphor to think about, you know, the destruction in a different sense, or loss of the world in a different sense is like, well, what kind of world do we really live in when we've abrogated all thought and responsibility to computer processes, which seems to be a possibility and not intense. And like, there's no thought, you know, like there's no reflection. It's just like, this is a machine that this is the whole thing about AI where everyone's like, oh, does it think? No, it doesn't. It's just spitting out information, right? And it takes in information, spits out information according to a process. It's not thinking. And it seems creepy sometimes, but I think that that's what's sort of frightening about this, and this movie touches on that in a way that it still feels relevant, is that there's a way in which, like, human capacities for thought, reflection, and action can be completely lost under conditions of technological, I don't want to say technological totalitarian, but just the total reliance on technology for every part of life. I think, and it's risky. I think now, actually, I mean, I don't know. Some of these people have no historical knowledge, but I think there is maybe more of a consciousness among people who are like, well, AI may be a good tool, but it cannot make decisions and solve problems for us ultimately. But I think there are some people who are like, oh, it's going to solve every human problem, which solving every human problem just kind of implies almost the end of humanity to me.
Right, right. Because what it suggests is that, like, human creativity is no longer needed.
Yeah.
It's like, what else is humanity but, like, our ability to, like, think creatively and envision new things. But, like,
right.
AI cannot create new things. It can simply kind of remix and regurgitate old things. And the remix is even the wrong word, because remix implies creativity. No, I mean, I think, you know, I think you're right to look at that this movie has, like, real relevance for the present, if you take the nuke as sort of like a metaphor. Because I can think just of immediately of so many areas where the use of automation or AI algorithms has had kind of like catastrophic effects on, like, people's lives, because it removes the human element, because it's simply pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic case is facial recognition tools trying to sort of, like, you know, identify criminals, which, like, have false positives. Landlord companies have used, like, algorithms to figure out who's going to be, like, right, a risk to be evicted, or risk to not, you know, be able to pay their rent, and acting accordingly, right? Sort of using these technologies to remove human discretion and human decision making, or to provide, right, like, an excuse, right, to say in Failsafe, Walter Matthau's character is, like, constantly pushing the president to use the failure of their computer system as an excuse to just sort of, like,
as a cover, yeah, strike,
right, as a cover,
yeah, yeah.
And that, I mean, my view is that, like, the use of AI in, you know, various forms of social control and social management is less, it'll be less to make decisions and more to provide excuses and cover.